Hare Krishna. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Krishnaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Kunaya Namaste Sarasate Devi Gauravani Vicharine Nevasesha Srimavali Mastitrasa Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Please kindly repeat. Kala Kanyapi Uvuje Puranjana Puram Balat Yaya Abhibhutaha. Purushaha
Purushaha
Sadyaha
Sadyaha
Nisaratam
Nisaratam
Iyat
Iyat
Kalakanyapi Bubuje
Kalakanyapi Bubuje
Puranjana Purambalat
Puranjana Purambalat
Yaya Bhuta Purusha
Yaya Bhuta Purusha
Sadhya Nisaratam Iyat
Sadhya Nisaratam Iyat
Kalakanyapi Bubuje
Kalakanyapi Bubuje
Puranjana Purambalat
Puranjana
Yaya Bhutak Purushak
Yaya Bhutak Purushak
Sadyani Saratamiyat
Sadyani Saratamiyat
Kalakanyapi Bubuche
Kalakanyapi Bubuche
Puranjana Purambalat
Puranjana Purambalat
Yaya Bhutak Purushak
Yaya Bhutak
Sajani Saratamiyat
Sajani Saratamiyat
Kala Kanya
Kala Kanya
The daughter of Kala
The daughter of Kala
Api
Api
Also
Also
Bubuje
Bubuje
Took possession of
Took possession of
Puranjana Puram
Puranjana Puram
The city of Puranjana
The city of Puranjana
Balat.
Balat.
By force.
By force.
Yaya.
Yaya.
By whom?
By whom?
Abhibhutaha.
Abhibhutaha.
Being overwhelmed.
Being overwhelmed.
Purushaha.
Purushaha.
A person.
A person.
Sadyaha.
Sadyaha.
Immediately.
Immediately.
Nisaratam.
Nisaratam.
Useless. Uselessness.
Uselessness.
Iyat.
Iyat.
Gets.
Gets.
Translation of Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Chapter 28, Canto 4, Text 4. Paranjana becomes a woman in the next life. Gradually, Kalakanya, with the help of dangerous soldiers, attacked all the inhabitants of Puranjana's city and thus rendered them useless for all purposes. Purport. At the fag end of life, I think everyone knows what fag end of life means.
Yeah.
Last days, huh? What was that?
Smoke.
Father uses this term. At the fag end of life, when the invalidity of old age attacks a man, his body becomes useless for all purposes. Therefore, Vedic training dictates that when a man is in his boyhood, he should be trained in the process of brahmacharya. That is, he should be completely engaged in the service of the Lord and should not in any way associate with women. When the boy becomes a young man, he marries between the ages of 20 and 25. When he is married at the right age, he can immediately beget strong, healthy sons. Now female descendants are increasing because young men are very weak sexually. A male child will be born if the husband is sexually stronger than the wife. But if the female is stronger, a female child will be born. Thus it is essential to practice the system of brahmacharya if one wishes to beget a male child when one is married. When one reaches the age of 50, he should give up family life. At that time, one's child should be grown up so that the father can leave the family responsibilities to him. The husband and wife may then go abroad to live a retired life and travel to different places of pilgrimage. When both husband and wife lose their attachment for family and home, the wife returns home to live under the care of her grown-up children and to remain aloof from family affairs. The husband then takes sannyas to render some service to the Supreme Personality of God. This is the perfect system of civilization. The human form of life is especially meant for God realization. If one is unable to take to the process of Krishna consciousness from the very beginning of life, he must be trained to accept these principles at the fag end of life. Unfortunately, there is no training even in childhood, nor can one give up his family life even at the end. This is the situation with the city of Puranjana, figuratively described in these verses. So we're now getting a description here of figuratively, as Prabhupada says here, of what is happening and how the living entity, if they reach old age, experiences. And in this particular verse, because following verses will expand on this subject matter, but in this particular verse, Srila Prabhupada especially is emphasizing the importance of human society. Actually, human society without Varnashram system is not really human society. This is the God-given system to fulfill the objective of human life. As Prabhupada mentions here, human life is meant for God-realization. It's not meant, as now we see predominantly at least, that in most human societies in the world today, they are emphasizing sense gratification. But this human life is not meant for kamasya, for sense enjoyment. It's meant for jivasya tattva jignas, for inquiring into the nature of the absolute truth. Most of our energy is relative truth. And we become very attached to our relatives, that which is relative to us, family members, body, possessions, etc. Different types of ignorance, which we become enshrouded, covered over by. And we become very attached. And so when these different unavoidable consequences of old age kick in at the fag end of life, and it doesn't mean necessarily when we're 80 years old, it could be earlier than that, but whatever time it is, when it starts to set in on us. And then we experience, as this verse says, or the purport says, that the body becomes useless to all purposes. Not only that, but all of our desires, all of our education, everything, practically all of our wealth even, becomes, in one sense, useless. Okay, we may be able to use it to try to prolong our life or minimize the pain, but in reality it's useless, because we can't take a thing with us. And it cannot protect us. People have this hope that we're going to be protected, we're going to be conquering over invalidity, we're going to be conquering over death, we're going to conquer over disease. We have some medical retired medical practitioner with us today, maybe a few practitioners, isn't it? That oftentimes we're in great hope that the doctor, the surgeon, the scientist, etc., will somehow or another be able to save us from having to experience the invalidity, the pain of old age, when our senses become slack, and not only that, even our desires become, in a sense, useless, because hardly we can fulfill them, right? Desire may be there to eat, and you can't eat. Or to have sex, and you can't have sex. It's painful, and that burning desire may be there, but we cannot actually fulfill it in any way, practically. Quite frustrating. So we're hoping that there will be a cure for all of this. And of course there is a cure for this. To bring it to an end. Not to try to prolong it. But to bring it to an end in a proper way. Not in the karmic way of just dying and taking another birth. As Paranjan, this figurative example here. In the case of King Prachinibharisha. Narada Muni is trying to explain this to him in a very various ways, figurative ways, to wake him up that this human life is not meant simply to enjoy at every stage of life. So the Vedic system, the predominant aspect of this purport is Srila Prabhupada giving a realistic application or a practical approach how to deal with it. And that is given by Krishna. We most of us are familiar with the subject matter to some degree, at least. Varna Ashram, Tetrabhanyam, Mayashishtam, Guna Karma Vibhavisha. Krishna has given this system to human life. As we see in the Bhagavad Gita in the third chapter, Arjuna was a little bit resistant to this idea in a sense. He was thinking, what's the need of all of this? But Krishna said, even if you are advanced, transcendentally speaking, still you have to act according to your nature within the system to show others who are not so advanced. This is Acharya. He's teaching us. So Srila Prabhupada also wanted, very much so, to what extent and to what detail and application, that we take this seriously, that the Varna Ashram system is not just something vintage, something old that we hear about but doesn't have any application. It may not be that one can superimpose or imprint it exactly on society. We don't have the structure in place, etc. But the principle is there. And here in this verse particularly, Srila Prabhupada is emphasizing ashram. We have Varna Ashram. Actually, if you ever go to Bulgaria, you can go to you can see Varna Ashram. Perfect Varna Ashram. Has anyone been to Bulgaria? Narayani is here?
No.
Not been to Bulgaria yet. We have first class Varna Ashram there. There's a city there called Varna, and we have an ashram there. So it's the city. Varna Ashram. But it's not quite the same as this. Isn't it? Big city on the coast. And so. But this is a little bit more scientific than geographical. And I thought today, because about, God knows how long ago, 20 years ago, I had put together a manual. It was never published. I still have it. Maybe one day. A manual on Vanaprastha Ashram. And it's the center of this year. It's something we don't hear about much. Prabhupada indicates it many a time, as the Shastras do. And Varnashram, of course, we hear a lot about. We may be a little bit confused as to what to do with it all. But there are certain aspects, especially in the form of ashram, that we can apply in our lives. So today, because our time is short, we can't get into all the various degrees of the various ashrams. We'll briefly mention perhaps something, but primarily we'll discuss a little bit about Vanaprastha. Many of the members today, the devotees today, are at an age in life where family responsibilities may have been fulfilled to whatever extent we're able to, and we may not be in an occupation in terms of work, etc., at this stage. So in one sense, we're at that stage of life. So I don't know if I'll begin by reading. We may read a few things. I didn't have enough time really to think about it or act on it. I did a little bit, but let's see what we can come up with. We're here. Vanaprastha, here we go. Something we don't hear much about in terms of practicality, you could say. And even in our own movement, we have some kind of brahmachari ashram, especially in India, of course, it's very prominent. In the West, it may not be so much so, but it's still there. Here in Melbourne, you have a brahmachari and a brahmachari ashram. Sure, Prabhupada established brahmachari ashram also, same principle, to prepare us for our journey back to Godhead. We get to, although we may start late, traditionally brahmachari ashram is from the age of 5. And it may go on, it depends on one's varna. We do read statements where Prabhupada says it is compulsory. The word reject or whatever, it's compulsory, it must go. But if we read further, we see that Srila Prabhupada describes that in the varna ashram system, those who are in the particular varna, for instance, of Shudra, Kalo Shudra Sambhava, pretty much everyone's Shudra, or less, in this age of Kali, there is only one ashram, only one, and that is Grihastha. That is there, you could say, samskara, if they can somehow or another be married and stay married, that is their religious execution of duty, with the primary one, for those who are Shudra mentality, consciousness. The varnas are established by consciousness, and then to a large degree, not entirely, but to a large degree, so are the ashrams. So brahmachari is predominantly for the other orders of life, the Vaishya, Kshatriya, and the Brahman. The Vaishyas do not stay long, generally speaking, in the brahmachari ashram. They learn what they need to know to be a qualified Vaishya, and then they proceed to the business of being a Vaishya. And they remain in that situation throughout their life. So the Vaishya have two ashrams, brahmachari and grihastha. That's it. Very occasionally they may, with their wife, take vanaprastha. Not alone, generally. And then the kshatriya. We see in the Bhagavatam quite a few examples of kshatriyas who retired from their family life. Vanaprastha Prabhupada describes it means retirement from one's duties, normal duties in terms of family, economic development, etc. And for kshatriyas, it is very important that they take to the Vanaprastha order of life. They had their brahmachari training, we can see with the Pandavas. They went to the ashram of Dronacharya and they got trained according to the need in various, the qualifications, the character, the qualifications, the eligibility to be proper kshatriyas. It's not just how to shoot a bow and arrow, but it's the quality by which they live and rule. Which is brought out. The kshatriya, all four orders have these capabilities within them, you could say, or characteristics within them, and the training simply brings it out in the proper way, in a way which is beneficial. So the kshatriyas were trained as young boys. And then after that, of course, they would return and be trained, put in the situation to rule the kingdom properly in a God-conscious way. They're supposed to be Raja Rishis. So they would do that, and then they would retire. And as we see in this verse, Prabhupada indicates here at the age of 50, Panchasodvam Vanambhajet. He mentions this about 40 times directly and many times indirectly, this verse indirectly. But the first Panchasodvam Vanambhajet directly mentioned in the database. Of course, he may have mentioned many more times. Most of the quotes are not, I say lots of them are not in the database. But there are many references to this in the Vedic culture. It probably says compulsory. But then we read further that this is only, vanaprastha is only generally for the kshatriyas and brahmins. It's not for everyone. And they form a small part of society. The vast quantity of persons are shudras in society. Simply menial servants working for the other orders of life. A large percentage in business, vaishyas, managing farms, organizing the shudras in various engagements, etc. And producing the stomach of society, producing the products which are required for the running of society. And then the kshatriyas are a smaller percentage in general, and they are the administrators, the rulers of society. And the brahmins are the teachers, of course, spiritual, and also in terms of the varnashram, practical. Not just teaching any old rubbish, but teaching something which will be favorable for the establishment of the God-given system of Vanashram, whatever it requires, teaching people their occupational, proper occupational duties according to their nature in society. So the Brahmins, of course, were more or less anyway living like that. They're following all the regulated principles which we see in our society today, ISKCON, the four regulated principles, and much more. That's the Brahminical principle, to follow these principles strictly. We see the kshatriyas didn't necessarily follow them strictly until they took vanaprastha. Oftentimes the kshatriyas would eat meat under certain circumstances, they would intake intoxication, gamble, and have what we would term as illicit sex sometimes. This is not that they're doing it all the time, but this is quite a common feature. Not all kshatriyas, but it's quite common. Even in the Pandavas, we could say that in one sense, the Pandavas, depending on what stage of life we look at many stages of their life, if they came to the temple today, they would say, sorry Arjuna, you can't get initiated. You're not qualified. You're not chanting for 16 rounds, and you're not strictly following the four regulated principles. So, hard luck. Now we're going to have a Bhagavad Gita class. You can sit down, Arjuna, and listen if you want. And who's that big white guy with you? That's my brother Bhima. Oh my goodness. Is he safe? Is he safe? Looks a bit rough. Or whatever it is. You know, society is a little bit more than just Brahmin. It's supposed to be a little bit brainy. Brahmin's supposed to be brainy. And it doesn't just mean like today where the brain is full of sawdust or whatever it is, full of stool. So many things. Scientists studying the science of stool, etc. That's not a Brahmin. A Brahmin knows the purpose of life, and he knows how to impart that knowledge to others. Not just ramming it down their throat, even though the person can't even speak practically or write, or all he knows is how to, you know, enjoy sense gratification. No. But in a way which the person can digest something. Brahmin's supposed to be broad-minded and not just, you know, learned, so-called learned, knows all the verses but doesn't have a clue what to do with them. Except for spurt it all out. Blah, blah, blah. But how to utilize it in a practical way which will benefit others in society. So Brahmins were very advanced in that sense. And that's why Vedic knowledge was primarily imparted to the Brahmins and the Kshatriyas. The Kshatriyas would put it into place perhaps in a slightly different way than the Brahmins. And they would learn from the Brahmins. The Brahmins would always guide the Kshatriyas how to do it in a way which is spiritually beneficial. And they had that qualification, eligibility, in society. So Vedic knowledge was imparted. We see it when Parikshit Maharaj was sitting on the banks of the Ganga listening to the words of Shukadeva Goswami. There were Kshatriyas there, but there were many, many Brahmins, saintly persons, sat there, listening to this subject matter. He did not find Vaishyas and Shudras sitting there, playing on their mobile phones or making text messages about business or something. No, nothing like that. In our classes, sometimes you see devotees sitting around doing other things. The mind's not quite there. So in Naimisharanya, all the sages were rapt attention because they're eligible. Their minds were not diverted to other things. They're eligible to hear, and they're also eligible to utilize that knowledge. It was expected they would disseminate that knowledge in an appropriate way to the other orders of life, in a way which was meaningful, and not just that people would just learn verses. And as we often see, we get certain statements and we misuse it, and it backfires. It doesn't have any beneficial effect at all. People become disinterested or disheartened sometimes. I can't come up to that, forget that, that's not for me. Or even worse than that many times. Usurping our position to exploit others, etc. So that's not a Brahmin system. Just because we have a piece of string around our neck doesn't make us a Brahmin. Just because we're on the altar, that doesn't make us a Brahmin. We're in the kitchen. It's the qualities. We see in the Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada describes as the qualities which the Brahmins work by, not the work itself. Krishna explains it. So we'll get back to the ashrams. So these ashrams are there, Brahmachari. And usually, the Brahmachari, the young boys, if they're of Kshatriya, Vaishya, or Brahmin stock, would go to the ashram of the Guru, as Krishna and Balaram went to Sandipani Muni's ashram. And then they learned whatever was required for Kshatriya from Sandipani Muni. He was expert in teaching that also, not just some slokas, but all sorts of things. And generally speaking, the Guru was a Vanaprastha. Generally, with his wife, in the forest. Vanaprastha literally means residing in the forest, going to the forest. So the Brahmacharis, the boys, would go there in a secluded place with no association except for the wife of the Guru. The wife, especially if they were young boys, the young boys need that motherly care. So the wife of the Guru would also take care of the children. When they get a little older, that was a little bit more restricted, of course. But that was the system. Vanaprastha. Vanaprasthas are traditionally gurus in society. Brahmins and Vanaprasthas, gurus in society. Sannyasis are otherwise traveling and they're gurus to everyone, preaching. They don't necessarily get bogged down with millions of disciples and 99.9% of the time the issues the disciples face are, grihastha issues, economic issues, social issues, mental issues, etc., you name it. And that's really the business of the Brahmin, local Brahmins, and the leaders and family members and so on to deal with, not the traveling sannyasi, but it's become a little odd in this day and age. Anyway, the children will get trained nicely, the cultured children, to lead society in the right direction. And one of the main things in society is that it is geared towards God realization, the main thing, which necessitates sense control. They are trained to control their senses. No matter what order of life they're in, for shudras it's just to stay married to one woman if possible. And that's a tough one. That's hard enough as it is. But that's the expected vrata for a shudra. Pretty hard for them, these days particularly. Divorce is almost more popular than marriage nowadays, isn't it? It's like an accepted feature. I remember when I got legally married many, 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 many years ago. And I went out and the man behind the counter said, "Have a good day." We walked down the office, and the first door we saw on the opposite side of the corridor was the divorce office, just across the corridor, 2 meters away, out of one office into the other. This Kali Yuga is so fallen, so we know that this age is very high, therefore, you know, in this age, Purushottama has established this method of Sankirtan, but it shouldn't be devoid of culture, it shouldn't be devoid of understanding of something, at least an application there. So then after Brahmachari, now I'm going to see if I can read something. I've skipped over a lot because of time, but we'll just go on to some. Anyone who is identifying with his body, anyone who identifies with this body, this is the dirty thing. Sometimes we think of dirty things as a desire for, you know, some sinful activity. But the dirtiest thing of all is to identify oneself with this body. That doesn't sound very, it doesn't compute with most people. It's a small, what do you mean? I'm a man. I'm a woman. I'm an Australian. I'm Aussie. I'm an Aussie, Mike. What's wrong with that? I'm an Hindu. I'm an Hindu. I'm a Christian. I'm an atheist. I'm a scientist. I believe in, most people think that naturally as you're supposed to do. But actually it's the dirtiest thing in our heart. It's the bonding force in our heart. This false identification with this so-called me. According to Vedic civilization, the body identification is divided into eight. Now we're talking of Vedic civilization. Today we don't really identify with that. And the eight bodily identifications are Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, and Sannyas. These are the eight bodily identifications. Lord Chaitanya said, Namam Vipo na Janara Pati, Nam Vibhasho na Shudra, Nam Vani na Jagriya Pati, Nogana Stoya Tirva. Kintolu Proja Nikila Paramananda Pranam Vitakta, Gopi Bhakti Padakamam Dasa Dasa Nam Dasa. I'm not one of these eight. Then what are you? One time Srila Prabhupada was giving a lecture at Uppsala University in Sweden at the time, 73. It was a time of social reform, and communism and socialism were becoming very popular amongst many students. Revolution, tear down the bourgeoisie, tear down these capitalist pigs, get rid of them. This type of anger was so in this university happened to be one of those type of universities where they were quite socialistic. And Prabhupada was giving a talk, and funny enough, he started a talk on the Varna Ashram. Not the sort of thing you would expect to talk to people who want a classless society. And Prabhupada was using the terms first class, second class, third class, and fourth class. And it was getting quite tense. Many students were becoming rather irritated. We could hear the heckling going on in the background. And then Prabhupada was getting a bit hot. Then one of the students said, the question said, so, I suppose you think you're the first class person, do you? He shouted at Prabhupada, you know. Prabhupada said, no. Then what are you? He said. What are you? And Prabhupada said, I am fifth class. I am servant of all classes. He didn't know what to say because probably I mentioned that before. Prabhupada completely defeated it. I mean, this is a Vaishnava. He's beyond these. This structure is for those who are still conditioned to identify with the body. And those who are transcendental, they also follow it to show the example. But primarily they're servant of all. So the prophets. Transcendental display. So human civilization begins, according to Vedic understanding, when there is Varna Ashram system. Otherwise it is not human civilization. Therefore in the Bhagavad Gita it is stated, chapter 5, This system should be followed. Then gradually one has to come to the spiritual. Chaotic society cannot help us. There must be systematic social order. Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. And Brahmachari Grihastha, Vanaprastha, and Sannyas. Sannyas is not voluntary, it is compulsory. Particularly Prabhupada, of course, he's speaking to us in one sense. Sannyas, Brahmins. But all Vaishnavas, we can see, are beyond, supposed to be, beyond this designation. But we may not be beyond that designation. We may still be a little bit attached, a little bit identifying with this material body of me, or the mind of me, etc. So this, particularly for Brahminical persons, is a compulsory stage. Then gradually one has to come. And if we keep to the designations, after the 50th year, one must take to Vanaprast, Vanambhajat. One must go to the forest. This is system. So system of purification. System of purification. How to become designations. It's interesting, Prabhupada uses the example of how to remove a thorn. You remove a thorn with a thorn. So to get free of designation, one has to act, in a sense, according to one's designation. And, in one sense, identify with that designation. But it's the Vedic system, and that gradually purifies us of the bondage of that designation, if we act according to our nature. Often, a proper system in Vedic culture, as you see in the Bhagavad Gita, the third chapter, how we, you know, act according to our nature, offer the fruits of our work properly, work within that system properly, one gradually becomes purified of designations. It's not a question of denying designations when we're still attached. That does not work. Purifying our attachments by proper behavior, proper action, following the rules of the various ashrams and varnas. This is the system. And if we keep the designation, Shastra says, Seva Gokara, if one is still identifying oneself with this body of Shatmavadi Kula Petra Tadake Sudhi Kula Tadashu Boma Hichadi, if we're still thinking this body is the self, Tirtha Buddhi Shalini Kandachin, we go to holy places just to take a little dip in the river and have a limka and a pizza nowadays, etc., etc. And then go away thinking, oh, that was nice, now I feel very purified, blah, blah, blah. Say Eva Gokara. But we don't sit down and listen. Ganesha begins Eva Gokara. We don't listen to the saintly persons who help guide us so we can get out of this mentality of identifying with the body and thinking of the life is the sense enjoyment. No. And if we keep the designation, one who keeps body designation is no better than cow and ass. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recommends that, Shastra, Vedic culture, that we have to purify ourselves from body designation. That is called Chaitodhapana Marja. Cleansing the dirty things within the core of the heart. That is, I am this. I am Indian. I am American. I am Brahmin. I am Sannyasi. I am Grihastha. I am white. I am black. These are dirty things. So these dirty things can be cleansed by chanting. Cursor. Now I know why they call it a cursor. If you can't find it, you curse it. I am black. These are dirty things. So these dirty things can be cleansed by chanting. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Shinvatam Svakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana. This chanting and hearing is Punya Shravana. If you do not know anything about, if you simply chant in here, you become purified. Punya. Because on account of dirty things, impious life, you become covered by different bodies. Mithu samsara vartmani. Different bodies means the way of birth and death. That you have to stop. And that is stopped when you get Krishna, otherwise not. I'm going to jump forward. This is a very important section. I suggest you read it. We are familiar with it, I think. Lord Chaitanya, when he was traveling, he came to Kurukshetra, and there he met what we know as the Kurma Brahmin. And the Kurma Brahmin wanted to leave home. He said, "My Lord, please allow me to come and join you. I want to give up this family life, which is just so binding. It's like a deep, dark well. Please release me." And Lord Chaitanya didn't agree with him. He said, "No, what are you talking? That's nonsense. You stop thinking like this. You stay where you are." Even we see that Ramananda Roy talking with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Gai Prayas Mudurta Pasta Manta Eva Universe Brahma. You stay where you are and you hear the subject matter of Krishna Katha from the right source. Become steady and hear the subject matter rightly situated. But that should be the focus, to hear the holy name, to hear the subject matter of Bhagavatam from the right source, not run away when we're not eligible. Or showing an example to unqualified persons is not a good idea, to run away like that. Show a good example. Stay where you are. Perfect your life. And Yanadeka Talakala Krishna Pradesh. Amar Madhya Guru Talakani. They should become a guru in your own situation. Guide people how they can live properly as grihasthas, how they can perfect their lives by making their home a temple, by cultivating people in one's neighborhood. Become a guru, Lord Chaitanya said. Teach as you have heard properly. Learn and then give. So this is his teaching. We're going to jump over that because it's a long section. Vanapras. There are four orders, Prabhupada writes in Chaitanya Charitamrita 7:34. There are four orders of spiritual life, namely Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanapras, and Sannyas. And in each of these ashrams, there are four divisions. Now, this is something we don't hear about much. It's not jump from one to the next. It's a gradual transition. So in Brahmachari life, there are four divisions. Kshatriya, Prajapatya, Brahma, and Brihad. And the divisions of the Grihastha. Now, these four divisions are, again, according to the Varna, normally speaking, they may vary. Just taking, Brahmin initiation, which is traditional in the cultured society, the young boys would take Brahmin initiation, Upanayan, and they would study, according to their avarna, under the guru for a certain period of time, and then they would leave and go back home. Some would make a vow to stay longer, some would study the Vedic literatures, and then they would get married, and some would make a vow of Naishtika, or Brihat, Brihatvrata. They would never get married. So there are different stages of persons in Brahmachari life. And the first one would only stay a little while to learn what they need, then go home and carry on Varna and Ashram, marry and do business or whatever it is. The second one would go a little bit further. They would make a vow to stay so long and would learn more, austerities and so on and so forth. The third one, maybe their whole life they'd be a Brahmachari, but they'd be married. They have spiritual knowledge and they're able to control their senses. Brahmachari in Grihastha life is there too, if they follow the regulated principles strictly. They're a Brahmachari Grihastha. And then there's another who never gets married. They remain Naishtika Brahmachari their entire life. And they may leave the ashram, but they remain a Brahmachari their whole life. They don't leave the Brahmachari ashram, they may leave the Guru's ashram. So these four stages are there, according to the stage one's on, one progresses to the next stage. And then if one's entering into the Grihastha ashram, there are Grihastha ashram are Varta, four types of Varta, professionals, Sanchaya, accumulators, Salina, those who do not ask anything from anyone, and Salochana, those who collect grains from the paddy fields. We don't get much chance to do that here in Melbourne. But the stage is this gradual, naturally when we get married, one has to accumulate, one has to do something. That's an occupation. So you work. And then you start to accumulate, naturally, not just children, but possessions. And then after a while, one gradually becomes detached. And when one's completely detached, I'll say completely, but it's on that stage when one is no longer dependent on one's occupation or family sustenance, etc., then one can move into the Vanaprastha ashram. Divisions of Vanaprastha, Vaikanasa, Valakilya, Odambara, and Penapa. And then Sannyas. So Penapa is basically beginning of Sannyas. Kutichar, Bahudar, Kamsa, Nishkriya. So here's a bit of a breakdown of Vanaprastha. Vaikanasa, the section of men who retire from active life and live on half-boiled meals. It's funny, in the Vanaprastha ashram, a lot is defined on eating habits. Is eating habits. If we're still attached to pizzas, we may not fit into this one. The father didn't put much emphasis on it, to be honest. But it's a tradition, it's a traditional. If you really want to follow traditionally and go away, give it all up. I don't know what type of wood you use, but you're supposed to dress, the men at least are supposed to wear tree bark. Yeah. Put on a nice tree bark dress. And even it says you eat tree bark at some stage. You actually can eat the tree bark too. So you've got your meal with you always. You can eat your own clothes. And you can enter the next stage. Have a doot. You sometimes see this, but it's not in this age of Kali. It's usually total imitation of all these things. But traditionally it's like this. So I'm just running through this, then we give them practical application of the Kali Yuga. Okay. It's just interesting to hear. But the principle behind it is the same. It's a gradual, Vanaprastha is a stage of consciousness. It's not an order, like, you know, age, based on age. It's based on, even Grihastha, otherwise it's Grihamedi. It's a state of consciousness, you know. And Sannyas particularly also. State of heart, where consciousness is. A particular, it's a natural thing. There's not even any, there are actually, I've got a list of rituals for Vanaprastha, but it's not generally applied. At least in our line, it's not applied. There are some ancient Vedic directives for mantras and what you do and don't do and this and that. Even the change of dress, we see when Prabhupada took Vanaprastha around about the age of 58, in 1954. It says sometimes around about 1950-54 that he took Vanaprastha, more or less. Gradual, step by step, sometimes home, sometimes away. Sometimes home, sometimes away. Not with his wife, because he wasn't so interested in that one. But he would go and come, bit of business, bit of family life, then away again preaching. He didn't go to the forest, he didn't put on tree bark, he didn't start eating half-boiled meals, or, you know, roots and herbs, or, you know, fallen fruits from the trees, or whatever it is. He didn't do that, but the principle was there. He was gradually becoming released or detached from the commitment to family life. That bondage which is so binding, as these verses of Paranjana illustrate, which keeps us bound up in this material world, life after life. To naturally release one from this bondage, naturally. The Prabhupada showed that, and then of course he took sannyas in 59. For many years he was living like a Vanaprastha. He dressed in white as a Grihastha dress. He didn't put on the normally a Vanaprastha without the wife wears fiery orange dress. Also, it's another description of Vanaprastha. They're not wearing tree bark. They put on fiery red cloth, like, stay away, fearful looking. Prabhupada didn't do that, because in this age particularly, this mission is to spread Krishna consciousness. It's only if that principle is the primary principle. The purpose of Vanaprastha is to 100% engage oneself in the service of Krishna. That's what it means in practical terminology. Internally, practically it may come out differently. Internally it's to be 100% engaged in the service of the Lord. And Prabhupada showed that. Perfect example of the stages of life, more or less. And then, in the Vanaprastha order, gradually becoming detached. Normally, husband and wife go together, and they visit holy places. They may be traveling in the forest, maybe they live in the forest, and live very austere. We see so many examples of this type of lifestyle. But in this day and age, again, this is not recommended. I was giving a Vanaprastha ashram in Chaupati in 2001 or something. I can't remember, something like that. And the leader of their Vanaprastha ashram came and said, I wasn't a sannyasi then. They said, Prabhu, I don't think we can really do that here. Dhanaprastha, retired grihasthas, I don't think they can go away to the forest and this and that, or even travel too attached. So practical, like Lord Chaitanya gave the Kurma Brahmin, stay at home and preach, but don't get entangled in family life, which often happens, huh? If you want to be a Dhanaprastha, you end up being a babysitter for the rest of your life, huh? For your kids' babies. Maybe the mother, but the husband at least should not be doing that. Preaching Krishna consciousness. For whatever one's characteristic. Now, another interesting thing about Vanaprasa, if we jump on a bit, is that, you know, whatever our eligibility is, whatever our quality is, we can utilize that as a teacher in Vanaprasa Ashram, showing others. We may do it. We may join the temple and do it full time. That's also fine. Or we may teach others, the younger ones, how to do it in a Krishna conscious way. It's more difficult today because, generally speaking, the older members of society are not savvy with the things that the younger members of society consider as important things now, technology and so on. But the principles they're teaching, at least teaching how to do things in a Krishna conscious way by their example, detached from all the things and just being free to educate. A wonderful situation of life. Preaching is the best situation in society to preach Krishna consciousness. If possible, they can travel and preach. We have many examples in our movement of that, of husband and wife traveling and preaching. Sankarsana and his wife come here, they're one example. Burujan Prabhu and his wife have come beyond all these things, but they're also wonderful examples of this. Husband and wife together serving full time, maybe together sometimes apart like this. But there's gurus in society. These are the gurus teaching us how to perfect our human form of life. There's a Vanaprastha ashram. So there are many activities, but controlling of the senses, the kshatriyas particularly, who tend to be a little bit licentious sometimes, a little bit passionate. The Vanaprastha ashram is very important to help away from all of that. Focus on the spiritual purpose of life, and control their senses, show a good example. We see even, take the example of Lord Kapiladeva and his father, Kardama. Huh? When Kapiladeva was born, Kardama, although he had God as his son, immediately left because the time was necessary to leave. He wasn't like, hold on till death, I have another duty to perform, don't become a cockroach. Another duty to perform, you know the stories. Oh, I haven't got my granddaughter married yet. My granddaughter's not, how old is she? 6? I gotta wait till she's married. Oh, then I gotta look after the children. I just remembered. Oh dear, she's got great grandchildren. You're not ready for Vanaprastha. Stay where you are, okay, but try to practice Krishna consciousness. But if we want to be Vanaprastha, you've got to be a little bit detached from all that. Krishna will look after the thing. Even Prabhupada said, one of his daughters was not married. He said, you cannot possibly fulfill all your duties. But when the time comes, you've got to do it. But it's got to be for a higher cause. Huh? Higher cause. Not just whimsically. Huh? Yes. Now as a child. I remember one time I was in Bhagavatam class in Vrindavan. One sannyasi was giving class, no name mentioned. And he was lecturing on the verses of Vidura, preaching to Dhritarashtra, get out of here, go now. You know, your skin is wrinkling, you can hardly eat, you know, teeth are falling out, you can't hear. Get out of here, you fool. Amili, Vanapras, go away. He's preaching nicely. He's preaching. And Dhritarashtra eventually heard what he said and did it. Anyway, there's a lot of stuff there about Vanaprastha. So the sannyas is saying, Panchasodvam Vanam Vrajat, lecture on this point. At the age of 50, you must retire and take Vanaprastha. At the end of the class, one devotee, as we asked to put his hand up, said, Maharaj, I'm 48 years old. I got married last year. I had a baby a month ago. What do I do? Panchasodvam Vanam Vrajat. I looked around. I always said, just kind of, You should have thought about that before you got married, he said. Well, yes, you should have thought about it before you got married, but you did get married. And you do have a baby, so you've got to think about that too. So it's not like black and white. The whole point is guidelines and reminders, the purpose of human life, to get free of this attachment to family, sex life, body, whatever it is, accumulation, occupation, whatever it is, to get free of that and to come to a real identification of Gopi Bhatta Padakamalam Dasa Dasa. And this is what Prabhupada is teaching us. This is what this movement is really emphasizing, that we're all the eternal servants of the servants, 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 servants. Whatever situation, even if we... There's a phenomenal conversation with Prabhupada one time, it made me laugh, I just thought of it. And Prabhupada was talking with Tamal Krishnamaraj and other devotees, and he was reminiscing on his childhood. And Prabhupada said, when I was childhood, I remember one local man. He was such an inspiration in my life. He was such a wonderful devotee, Prabhupada said. He was 80 years old, and he got married at 80. And Tamal Krishnamaraj went, phew, Prabhupada, isn't that a bit old? And Prabhupada said, yes, but the Vedas are full of such examples of 80-year-old men getting married. And then he went on to say, and he was such a nice devotee. So whatever stage it is, whatever happens, it's not like, you know, the end of the world. Somehow or another, focus on Krishna consciousness. Somehow or another, show, be Krishna conscious in any situation we're in. There is no restriction to that. There may be institutional laws, it may be a little odd. We may have some, you know, mundane backlash or whatever it is. But the whole point is to become Krishna conscious. We have to stop now because of time. But this is a big, big, very big subject matter. And just touching the tip of an iceberg, possibly, I don't know, maybe. And something, food for thought. The real goal of human life is to cultivate this mentality within our hearts, no matter what situation we're in. And the real cultivation is attachment to Krishna. Nirbandha Krishna Sambandhi Yukta Varagya Uchitanya. To become attached to Krishna consciousness somehow or another. That's the art. Whatever order we're in, whatever our stage of life, whatever our gender, whatever it is, perfect our lives, because becoming attached to Krishna automatically detachment from this material identification. Sarva upadi vinirmuktam tatpadudvena nirmalam vishikena vishikesha bhakti seva uchitam. By engaging one's senses in the service of Krishna, automatically, sarva upadi, the false identities can be dissolved or removed. One becomes free of upadi or identification, false identity. And tatpadudvena nirmalam, one's heart becomes pure, free of these dirt within the heart. So engage our senses, particularly in chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So any questions or commentaries? Hare Krishna is a holiday today, so we can take rest now. Is that what it means? Day of rest. So day of rest today, holiday? Go to the beach. Chill out. Harinam. Day for chanting. Holiday comes from holy day. Supposed to be a holy day. Instead it's become a heli day. Supposed to be a holy day. Any questions? Yes, Prabhu.
Prabhupada said, I'm sorry.
He did say that one time in his last few days. He said he apologized for any offenses he committed.
Can women take marapas and trouble?
Yes, they can. Thank you for that. That's the normal situation. Husband and wife go together. Actually, we read that.
briefly. Very one sentence only, so we can pick it up. But husband and wife leave home and they go together. And Prabhupada said, to the forest in this age means holy places like Vrindavan, Puri, Mayapur, ISKCON Melbourne temple. Holy places, they go together. And there they chant and hear. And they serve together. They can preach together. They can serve together. They can cook together. They can worship together. They can do so many things. Read together. Without, you know, as the primary thing in their lives, gradually developing that as the primary focus together. And of course, they're, in the case of especially those, we're talking in the Vedic society, those who are Brahmanical, in our modern ISKCON, we could say when it's practical, when it's realistic, with the permission of the wife, the husband may take sannyas, and the wife may do whatever it is. They go home if there's a family and preach to the temple, whatever, and preach. As grandmothers do, they educate the grandchildren in spiritual life, and the husband takes sannyas. But the most stage of vanaprasa is husband and wife together. And as I said earlier, they are often the gurus in society, giving initiation to the brahmacharis and giving guidance to others in society, educating others. Yes, together is the ideal preaching team. Vanapras, powerful ashram for preaching. If husband and wife together preach, very powerful. Is that okay?
Yeah. Prabhupada would say that women should be protected at all.
Yes. Yes.
How does this happen?
Well, they're together, aren't they?
But they're not together.
Well, the woman goes home to the family. And if they're, and in some cases they may be, you know, as we see, they may be fully engaged in devotional service, so they're protected in a society of devotees. They're in a society, they're not independent, they're part of a society of devotees, and they're serving within the society of devotees, giving direction to other younger or other devotees, etc. They're protected in that way. They're fully engaged in devotional service. Otherwise, they go home to their families, and there they're protected, but they're also giving spiritual direction there too. You have a question? Yes.
Yeah. Maharaj, like in the story of Puranjana, like Puranjana lived in the city of with 9 halls and some gates that refers to the body. Then, what does the inhabitants of the city refer to?
What do they do? The inhabitants of the city? All your desires? There are unlimited desires in the body. Subtle body. Unlimited inhabitants, isn't it? You're the boss, but all these inhabitants are constantly demanding. Now I want this, now I want that. Your senses are also there, of course. They're always demanding, isn't it? Isn't it, in the city? Just like in Melbourne, the citizens are always expecting something. In some cities they're protesting, right? We demand this. Down with the managers, down with the leaders. If you can't give us this, we're going to get rid of you. They're always demanding things. So the senses are always demanding something from you. And you're constantly busy serving those senses till the day you die. And serving the desires through the means of the senses. So it's unlimited desires in your city. Do you agree? And if you don't become Krishna conscious, they never stop. And when invalidity comes, all those desires are then starting to, you know, help, we want this, well, and you can't provide it anymore. You're invalid. And so they're in a panic mode. It's like in a city, if no longer the electricity works, how are we going to do? What are you going to do? The bank's not open and working. The traffic lights are not working. Water's not coming out. Nothing's working. No electricity. You'll be panicking. Be chaos. When things start to break down, everything goes chaotic, and all the citizens start to freak out. So all your desires are unfulfilled. The senses become slack. They can't do it anymore, and you are feeling awful. Is you can't satisfy any of your citizens, any of your desires. You're so dependent and so attached to your citizens in the body. And then when they can't, you know, no longer, you're just losing it. It becomes so painful. Not just the bodily pain itself, but we'll hear about that in the next verses. But the pain of being unable to satisfy the desires within. So unless we develop desires for serving Krishna, we're in trouble. A human life is meant for that. It says, the enjoyer within the body or the city of nine gates, Paranjan, the living entity is trying to enjoy in this body. It perpetually goes through the same thing over. And even though he's sufficiently experienced, he's still, Deyapatra, Kalatradishu, Atmasanyasva, Satsupi, he's still taking shelter of these fallible soldiers in the form of family members, as if they can protect us. They can't. They just keep us bound up in this world. If they're devotees, they can protect us. Being attached there is purifying. But in general, that's not the case. Anything else? Well, you are sharp. Is that your notes? I found some notes upstairs in the prasadam room. Was that your notes? There's a note paper on the floor. No? Notes on yesterday's class. Yeah.
Did Balram also go to Sandipani Muni for learning?
Pardon?
Did Balram also go to Sandipani Muni for learning?
Yes, he did. With Krishna. They went together. However, as you well know, it's just like, you know, the rivers coming down to the ocean. Krishna is the ocean. And from the ocean, the water is evaporated and condensed, forms into clouds, and then into rain, and then it forms rivers and pours back. After it hits the mountains, it comes. So Sandipani Muni is just like the river pouring the water back into the ocean. But Krishna is the ocean of knowledge. He's the one who gives knowledge. He's the source of knowledge. So Balaram and Krishna, source of knowledge. But to show example, they also showed example to satisfy their parents as well as Kshatriyas. They went to the, because as Vaishyas, they never went to school. Vaishyas don't always go. They didn't go in Vrindavan. When they went, when he joined Vasudeva and Devaki as Kshatriyas, and they were sent to the Gurukul to satisfy their parents, as well as to show the example. Various things, and various other pastimes manifest as a result, of course. But yes, they did. They went there. Pastime, Krishna's pastime, just like Lord Chaitanya, the pastime of youth, scholarly pastimes, enjoying his pastimes of youth as a scholar, having fun. So it's pastime also there of Krishna and Balaram to go to the Gurukul and to receive the service of Sandipani Muni. That was his service to them. So to reciprocate with Sandipani Muni. Anything else? Yes. Boy, he's a sharp young man. Very inspiring. Very impressed. Yes. Was he a?
He was a Vaishya.
A Vaishya? Was he a Vaishya? He's asking if Sandipani Muni was a Vaishya. He was a Vaishnava. Vaishya, I've never heard. He was living like a vanaprastha in the forest. He's living in the forest and with his wife in the forest. And he was educating young boys. Do you want to go there? His ashram is near Ujjain. You know Ujjain? Yeah. Bhakti True Maharaj has based there. So that was his ashram near Ujjain, Avantipur. But no mention of being a Vaishya. But a Brahmin. He's a Brahmin. He's a pure Brahmin. And as a Brahmin, he educates the children, Kshatriya children, he educates the Vaishya children, he educates Brahmin children, how to become good Brahmins, good Vaishyas, good Kshatriyas. He was a Brahmin. Yes, anything else? Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jai, Bhagavatam ki jai, Gaura Prema Mandir.